You are acting Madam Deputy Chair. And if there's one thing I've learnt in my 3.5 years of being a senator is that if anyone thinks that this country is being run by the people in this chamber or in the other place, they are kidding themselves. It is run by the bureaucrats. And let's be honest, that's too much a nicer term. They're really autocrats because these people are accountable to no one. We've been fooled with the...
Accountable to no one. You know, when I originally thought of the reasons for making this podcast, it was to tell the world about who really runs things down here in Australia. And you just heard Queensland Liberal Senator Jared Rennick in the Senate recently talking about the real power in Australia, who really runs things. And let me tell you something, it's run by a gang, or as I've discussed previously in this series, a cartel, okay? And they use our taxes, okay, ostensibly to serve us. And then what you find out is it's a ruse, a con, because actually they use our taxes for unlawful purposes, such as paying for lawyers to help attack victims of deadly medical scandals that Australia's bureaucracy caused. You know, you might be thinking about COVID and these terrible injections, but I'm also talking about the other ones they cover up, like contaminated blood, the one that I'm fighting right now. G'day, this is Charles McKenzie. I'm your host of Join High Adventure, the podcast that's about surviving healthcare, which, as I've said before, in case you haven't noticed, has become something of a perilous business, okay? So you're listening to The Resistance because healthcare in first world countries has been taken over by absolute lunatics, okay? Yeah, it really has. You will get killed if you do not pay attention, and I mean it. Now, I put out a podcast yesterday, a very emotional one, and talking about really, perhaps it didn't make much sense to people, but really it was about trying to, I'm going to clarify what I meant. And, you know, Jared Rennick, that Liberal senator talking about the power in Australia. Well, let me tell you something. I've been fighting contaminated blood basically since a kid in the 80s. And this scandal happened right around the world. And governments and bureaucracies handled it right around the world. But as I've said before, some governments and bureaucracies handle it belatedly because, you know, they don't want to have to pay the money. They want to keep the money for their own purposes, of course. That is human nature, or at least the nature of paying other people to do things for you, you know, the nature of government. And so the thing is that such a scandal, why Australia's bureaucracy stands out, why I'm so impressed that Senator Rennick has had the courage to speak up, is because these other governments and bureaucracies around the world, okay, managed to do the right thing ultimately, or, you know, offer aid, at least some aid, to victims of people who received HIV contaminated blood transfusions or hepatitis C contaminated blood transfusions or their, you know, or blood products. You know, there was some aid offered and compensation, but there's been nothing here. So why would that be? There was a global medical scandal. Tens of thousands of Australians were infected and affected here. It is our nation's deadliest medical scandal, just like it was for America, the UK, Canada, Ireland, all these places that have had responses. So what was so different here? Okay, Australia's bureaucracy is what was so different here and Australia's government. In 1994, Australia's bureaucracy and Australia's government, knowing, you see, some of the laboratories that made these blood products that were the culprits behind so much tainted blood, or, you know, people with bleeding disorders like haemophilia becoming infected, 1,400 being killed, right? These laboratories were actually owned by Australia, by us, the Australian taxpayer, and they were run by Australia's bureaucracy. And this laboratory was called Commonwealth Serum Laboratories. And they became completely aware in the 1980s that Commonwealth Serum Laboratories, which not only made blood products for Australians, but also for people in our region, Hong Kong, Malaysia, okay, Asia, and there's even suggestions it's being exported to Europe and the UK, okay? And that's pretty scary if you know how these things were made, right? But what happened was that Commonwealth Serum Laboratories had knowingly distributed contaminated blood products. They'd done the same thing that the infamous American pharma giant Bayer had done when they realised that their blood products were not free of HIV or Hep C. They distributed them to patients anyway. And that's what Commonwealth Serum Laboratories did, and that's what Australia's bureaucracy did. So when they knew that, what they did was they immediately privatised the Commonwealth Serum Laboratories in 1994 and, of course, indemnified them, legally indemnified them after the fact, after they poisoned people and killed all these people. How do you lawfully do that? It's never been tested in court, of course. And the same bureaucrats who were responsible for presiding over this Commonwealth Serum Laboratories, they got shares in the private company, okay, and made hundreds of millions of dollars whilst knowing about how CSL, or Commonwealth Serum Laboratories, as they're previously called, had knowingly distributed blood, and whilst knowing that patients still hadn't been told of the risks and the dangers to them. Incredible. And Australia's bureaucracy quarterbacked this whole thing and made it possible. And that was 30 years ago, basically. 29 years ago, 1994. And I have been here ever since, okay? And I've got everyone against me. Our group has everyone against us. But the primary thing we have against us is Father Time. You know, the decades have rolled by. The worst of contaminated blood happened before the 2000s. And I put out this emotional podcast yesterday. And it was about basically about how I recognize, you know, the original dreams that I had when starting out young was that I would get us all justice, and I'd persuaded all these wonderful people that I'd appealed to, you know, tainted blood victims and their families, their parents, to join me in this campaign all those decades ago. We've had various different names for our groups: Tainted Blood Products Action Group, Tainted Blood Australia, Infected Blood Australia. We've had these different names because we've had to stop at points because so many people have died, okay? And I've had to dust myself off and go back again and rebadge and rename, you know, and try and re-inspire myself. But my ultimate dream was to get the original people over the line for justice so they could see that it was possible that we could get some acknowledgement and justice for Australia's deadliest medical scandal, for parents that lost children. I wanted them to see it in their lifetimes. Well, recently I've come to the understanding that that's, you know, not going to be happening. We've lost and are losing most of the original people that supported me. A great friend of mine who passed away in 2017, a child victim of tainted blood, a really great mate. He became very tired, and it really affected me and it affects me because his romantic life starting out as a kid was really hampered by the fact that he had tainted blood. He found that very difficult, and he required enormous care, and his mother had to retire from work to care for him. And unfortunately, he never got it to be middle age, really. He died in 2017. And I was very upset about that because he was a great believer, and I wanted him to see the justice. His mother, I wanted her to see it. She obviously was grieving the loss of her son, who she basically dedicated her life to. And like so many parents in our group, they've given their lives to dedicate their son because the children didn't get the healthcare and the care that they needed because of this cover-up by Australia's bureaucracy, because they don't want to use public funds to do what they're lawfully given the money to do, which is care for the people. That's why we give our taxes, but they want to steal it. They just want to steal it because they're criminals, right? For real. And so I've been here for decades trying to keep people around. And that emotional podcast yesterday was the realization that, you know, that's not the dream that I had of getting over the finish line with those original people, because this cover-up's gone so long, won't be happening. And I also had a dream of starting over myself. You know, I've had tainted blood since a kid, so I've never really felt very warmed, you know, not really being myself, to be honest, my whole life. You know, it has affected me. And I had this sort of fanciful idea that I'd start over and walk away. But I also, part of my future is about telling the truth. I've always wanted to tell the truth, but I now live it. And I don't want to deceive people. I've been making videos for years for Infected Blood Australia to try and get people to support our call for a Royal Commission into this terrible cover-up that's affected so many parents and their children and so many patients around Australia. You can support it by going to infectedbloodaustralia.com and clicking on the link to support the Royal Commission into the Infected Blood Scandal. But I did these videos and, you know, I'd be like a broken record, okay? So people don't realise sometimes I do silly ones, sometimes serious ones. And people think, oh, you're doing something wrong, or oh, you're doing something right, or it's a bit like being a performing seal. But really what I was doing is the media weren't running this at all. So we had to get people to support us, because with the media not running it, what help are we going to get? We've got people dying right now. I had to do something. I had to get people to support our Royal Commission, and you have in your thousands, and I thank you. But it's 2023, and many of us were infected in the 1980s. And the dream I had of walking away able-bodied and with everybody and my friends and them being able to see the justice that we fought for, and me starting over and being able-bodied and all of that, is not going to happen. So it was a very emotional time. We also have people very close to me who are in real bad shape. We're doing it tough here at Infected Blood Australia. We need your help to go on. Otherwise, we're history. You can go to the show notes. You know, you can donate to my GoFundMe. If you don't want to do that, you can donate to me directly at join.joinhighadventure.com.au. There's a Stripe payment system there, but you know, there will be justice one day. The evidence is just too much. There's just far too much. People will be shocked. You know, you early investors in this podcast, what I mean, you early listeners, you know, people that believed, wow, you're going to say, I knew about that ages before it came out. Or you people that have helped me, helped keep me alive by donating to GoFundMe. I backed that guy when he needed cannabis to keep campaigning. Okay. Yeah. Well, so part of my future now, I'm realizing, you know, I've got to recalibrate my dreams, as what I said in my last podcast. Is these videos that I did for Infected Blood Australia were very costly, because I'd have to have lots of medicinal cannabis to control my arms and control my symptoms. If you've listened to the previous episodes, you'll know I've got bone marrow failure. I've also fighting tainted blood, the same tainted blood I've had since a kid. It's causing motor function problems and all sorts of crap. And so I'm, you know, I like to appear strong and all the rest of it and together. And I don't like people to worry, you know, because I want to be strong for people, the other people in our group who are bedbound or doing it tough. But I also don't want to lie. And so going forward, there probably will be less videos. And, you know, even doing this podcast is hard. You can probably hear it on my mouth. Half my mouth goes numb. A lot of parts of my body are now numb. I had a fit last night at 3 a.m., I'm using like $200 worth of cannabis a day. I don't know. It's like, even with that, you know, it's really happening for me. I deeply appreciate you listening. I'll be using this podcast, Join High Adventure, more often because I don't want people to see me really sick. I'm self-conscious in that way. I'm going to start using a walking stick and all of that and get on with this new phase of my life. I wished my dream, I wish I could have got the way I wish it could have ended the way that, you know, when I was young, I had this dream, you know, I'd walk away able-bodied and I'd get the better of the bullies, okay, and maybe start over and, I don't know, get married and have a family and all of that, yeah? Well, I've recently realised, yeah, it's okay. Instead, I'll just make sure that justice happens for as long as I'm alive and get on with being, you know, disabled. And I just also want to say that I'm planning a new podcast series, which will be a lot more professional than this one. Not sorry to those of you who've been offended. There have been a couple of people who've been a little bit offended. Sorry about that. I'm just a kid who never really got to grow up. Yeah. This is me just, you know, you're hearing my thoughts through this podcast series as I try and survive. It's my journey. Okay. But there's been many of you who've been very complimentary. Thank you so much. I could hug you because I need it. I need your support. It's one hell of a fight. But I am planning a professional series, and it's been something I've planned for a long time. I want to do people in our group justice, the group at Infected Blood Australia. We have thousands of people who've been infected and affected by this deadly medical scandal, contaminated blood. The Australian Red Cross have committed the most terrible medical crime, and it's the worst medical crime in Australian history. So there will be a podcast series. You know, I can't be bawling on it or being unprofessional. It's got to be done right. And so it will be. And it's going to take a little bit of time. And I think we're going to do a Kickstarter for it. Okay. But you'll be hearing from people in our group. And, you know, throughout my videos over the years, there have been a couple of people that have come on, but and these podcasts, you know, I haven't put people from the group on because, you know, we don't get a huge audience, although we've got 10,000 people. Thank you so much. But, you know, really to sacrifice your rights to privacy and tell such a painful story, you know, a lot of people feel like it's got to be worth their while. And because mainstream media black us out, maybe doing it on enjoying high adventure at this stage is not worth their while. But what we will be doing here, though, is talking to you and others who want to survive healthcare. If you want to keep listening to me and my adventures surviving, and if I can help you in your adventures, then please, please keep listening. It's an absolute pleasure to know you. I can tell you that much. And as I've said before, to those of you who can donate to me, thank you so much. It actually reduces my pain. I'm like a plane that needs fuel. The cannabis is my fuel, and it basically stops my fits and helps reduce my pain. And so if you could help me do that by going to the show notes and donating, I would love you for it. I really would. And I'd love you if you could just keep on listening and keep having faith that together we can survive healthcare. Thank you for listening.